But I tell you what, if there was ever a song that you need to sing that would, you should have some fire behind, amen. We are free, are we not? And you are free to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Thank you, Brother Trey and Miss Jessica. Take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Week 7 of our sermon series, Marks of a Healthy Church Member, Marks of a Healthy Christian, but we really kind of, application is really focused in on the church, the local church. We're answering the question of how can you and I become healthy members of this local body right here? How can we contribute to the overall health of our church, First Baptist Church? And we've looked at 6 marks so far that are very important, and I hope that you have taken good notes. I hope you have wrote these down, because these are things that we will talk about throughout the year, in the years to come, next year, and so forth. But these are very important in being a member of the local body. Knowing the gospel, embracing the word, being a committed member, growing spiritually, pursuing holiness, and then last week, number 6, being a biblical evangelist. And then we have 2 more, and we'll finish up next Sunday. But today, as we look at the 7th mark, healthy church members are good stewards. Healthy church members are good stewards. And I want us to go to a well-known parable of Jesus Christ this morning. Matthew 25, let's begin in verse 14. He says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me, and see, I have gained 2 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up to him and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. And then you ought to have put money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. And therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" In his poem, Maud Muller, John Greenleaf Whittier wrote these famous lines, and they have been used in songs and in movies and other plays and things. "For all the sad words of a tongue or pen, the saddest words are these: what might have been." The saddest words are these: what might have been. Those can truly be sad words, beloved. to get to the end of your life and to look back over your life and ask the question, what might have been? What might have been if I worked harder? What might have been if I studied longer in school? What might have been if I saved more money? What might have been if I would have taken the other job? What might have been if we had, if I had loved deeper? What might have been if I would have went to college or not gone to college? What might have been if I would have served more faithfully? No one wants to ask this question at the end of their life and feel the deep sorrow and weight of regret. To know that they did so little with their talents, to know that they did so little with what they had been given, that they were bad stewards of the one life that God had given them. And yet, that is the substance of the text this morning. Wasted opportunity. What we have here is a parable of Jesus Christ, a story with a point. The story is actually the third of four at the end of Jesus' teachings on the Mount of Olives. And there on the Mount of Olives, Jesus was teaching the disciples and others on the subject of the end times, rather popular subject in our day, and even in his. And so here in this parable, and not just this one, but the other three as well, as he's coming to the end, they're all there at the end, and they're all concerning the fact that one day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to leave them, he says, and I'm going to come back, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready, because when I come back, you will give an account for what you have done while I'm away. And so, therefore, there is, in all four of those parables, the kind of the same thing. Jesus is gone, he's leaving, but he's coming back, and each one has a different purpose. And here we find the purpose of this parable. Notice here, Jesus says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey." The word "it" is referring to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what he's talking about. Jesus is going to go, and he says, "While I'm away, the kingdom of God is going to be visible in the church." Okay, that's what he's referring to. He's referring to the visible part of the kingdom, and that is the church, that is you and me. Because notice what he says here, that he follows up with, he called his own slaves. He called his own slaves. Well, who are the slaves? Well, those were the master's workers. Who are the master's workers today? Who are Jesus' servants today? His slaves, his workers. It is you. It is me. It is the church. And so he says that I'm going to go away, but I'm going to call my slaves and I'm going to give them something. I'm going to give them a responsibility. He says he entrusted his possessions to them. These possessions in the parable are called talents. Talents normally referring to money, but the word itself just means something of great weight, great value. So it can refer to money, but it can also represent something else. It can be various possessions, various resources that you may have acquired in your life. It can be talents. It can be gifts. It can be responsibilities. It can be opportunities that God has given you. Something of value. The Lord has went away to prepare a place for us, and while he is away, he has left his workers with his possessions, with his gifts, with whatever it is he has given you. And he says, you are to go out and you are to faithfully work and spread the gospel. You need to understand that all this is even connected to what we've been looking at over the life of a healthy church, the purpose of a healthy church, and even last week, the issue of being a biblical evangelist. We are to faithfully work to spread the gospel. The gospel being that Jesus Christ has come to rescue his people from their sins, that we are sinful from the moment that we are born, that we are wretched and wicked, the Bible says. No one seeks out God, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves, that Jesus Christ has come. God has sent his only Son, that he may live the life that we could not live, that he would be an innocent man while we were guilty, yet he died in our place for our sins to take away the wrath of God. That's what God has done for you. Christ has died for you. 3 days later, rising again, bringing justification to all who would repent and to have faith or believe in Christ as their only hope. And then he has ascended to heaven, where we now await for him to return one day, that, you know, that he may bring complete, not only now justification and sanctification, but he'll bring glorification, where we will be reunited with him, where there no more sin will reign. We wait for our King. And so this is what we are to tell this story to the world. But while we are to tell the story, beloved, we are to faithfully work. That is the overall point of this parable. And I would just go ahead and say, beloved, this morning, that if you've never believed the gospel, we can't even get to the issue of work this morning. You must first believe the gospel. And so I would challenge you this morning, if you are struggling with your salvation, you must go to the gospel and do that today. But for those who have believed and placed their faith in Christ, we now see that the Master has given us these possessions, these talents, these responsibilities to fulfill for Him. In other words, healthy church members are good stewards. Healthy church members are good stewards of what God has given them. And I want to show you four things from this text this morning. Four things that are very important. Healthy church members embrace faithful work. Healthy church members embrace faithful work, make the most of their time, make the most of their talents, and joyfully receive more. Let's look at the first one here. Healthy church members embrace faithful work. Notice here that we are stewards. Because there in verse 15, he gives these talents, he says, to three of his servants. And so they are to be stewards. That is what's taking place. The master gives each one of them this large sum of money known as a talent. Now, they are very large sums of money. Even the one who gets one is an extremely large amount here. So we'll get to that a little bit. But he gives this to them that they may manage or work on his behalf while he is away. According to J.C. Ryle, he says that the parable before this is the parable of the 10 virgins. He says, where the story of the 10 virgins calls the church to be always watching, to be watchful, waiting on the Lord to come. He says, the story of the talents calls on the church to work, to faithfully work until he returns. Now, notice that the first two servants traded. Notice it says that they traded. Look again, verse 16. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one with 2, same manner, he immediately goes. In the same manner, with the one who had received 2 talents, gained 2 more. So he immediately goes and he trades. So these two are trading. All right, so notice that word trade. The Greek word implies a constant issue of business. You are constantly doing business. So we have a misunderstanding of the text if our view is that they immediately went and put it in the bank, or they immediately put it in a stock, and then they went away and they sat back on the couch and they just kind of kept an eye on it, you know, like we do today. You go on the computer, check your stock. Okay, looking good today, not looking good today. That's not what this was. They traded it and made a little money. They went and traded it again and may have lost some money. And then they went and did it again and may have gained some back. It was a constant work. It was never just sitting back, being idle. They were working while the master was gone. Not just sitting back waiting to hit the jackpot. A constant, you know, vigilance was involved here in what they were doing. Making trade after trade after trade. And these two are praised for their work. But you have this third one, this third servant. He's condemned. Why? Because of his laziness. He immediately went and buried the talent in the ground and did nothing. I mean, I'm sure he did something for himself. I'm sure he may have done something somewhere else, but he did absolutely nothing with what God had given him. And this was a direct violation of the master's intentions. Again, let me quote J.C. Ryle on this. He says, we are not told that the unprofitable servant was a murderer. We are not told that he was a thief. We are not told that he was a waster of money. But we are told that he did nothing. And this was his ruin. Let us beware of do-nothing Christianity. Let us beware of do-nothing Christianity. For such Christianity does not come from the Spirit of God. Beloved, healthy church members faithfully work to serve the Lord. They don't do nothing. They don't sit back and do nothing and let everyone else do all the work. They don't sit back and take care of their own stuff, you know, and just think of their own selves and just say, you know, I'm just going to attend service here and there. I'll go to a few things. I'll do this. I'll vote when I'm needed to. But I'm not going to use my gifts, you know, for the church or the community or the missions, whatever. That is not from the Spirit of God. And here we find that in the text, beloved, that to do nothing actually points to a lack of salvation. Look at verse 26. But the master answered and he said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and you gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who had 10. But notice verse 29, "For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have, he shall be taken away." So there's this taking away. And then verse 30, "Throw out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth." That is hard language, by the way. And that's not talking about murderers, thieves, adulterers. That is talking about those people who go to church every Sunday and do nothing but sit in the pew and go home and never serve God at all. If you thought you were safe with just church attendance, this should scare you. Because what we see in this text is, beloved, is that if the Spirit of God is in us, there is going to be a compulsion to serve the Lord with what we have. I don't have much. It's okay. No one's asking you how much you have. What we are seeing here is that he's telling you, serve the Lord. Be a good steward. Be a faithful worker. Because it's not to be extremely lazy in your Christianity, beloved. Is to walk on the edge of fire, on the edge of a cliff almost. Healthy church members faithfully work. We serve the Lord with what we have been given in our community. If you've ever wondered, where should I go? Where should I work? There is a community around you that God has placed you in. There is a city. There is a parish. There is a state. There are neighbors. You're in a neighborhood somewhere. Serve the Lord with what you got. Faithfully work to let people know that not only are you a believer, but you want them to be a believer. Meet the needs of those in your community. Serve the Lord in the church. God has placed you in this church for a reason. You are part of the members. You are a finger, a hand, you're a kneecap. I don't know. But the Bible says we are all members of the body. But we're all important to the body. And so we faithfully work in the community. We faithfully work in the church. We faithfully work for those and with those in need. There are people who are hurting. There are people in crisis. And God has given us the ability to help them in some way. It may not be money. It may be that you're just a good cook. It may be that you're just a good encourager. That you write good notes. Mission field. We can go on, beloved, we can go all day on the mission field, how we could faithfully help serve those who are missionaries, or ourselves can even be some type of missionary. We find that this type of work is of the Spirit of our Lord, and this is what a healthy church member looks like. But secondly, notice here, healthy church members also make the most of their time. It has been often said that time is more valuable than money, right? that time is more valuable than money. I'm kind of one of those people who put a lot of emphasis on time, even to the detriment of my family. It is never a good thing to blow the horn at your wife and children when they're in the house. You're outside waiting. Okay, don't do that. I was always one of those people who just, we got to hurry, we got to hurry, we got to hurry, we got to hurry, got to do, time is valuable. If you show up, you're late. If you're there on time, you're late, but if you're like 10 minutes early, you're good. That's on time and, that type of thing. And so I can so see this, but we, in the parable, I think proves the point. Notice money can be increased or lost, but money can be increased or it can stay the same, no matter the amount of time that goes by. But time is something that once you lose it, you can never regain it. I was talking to some of our seniors before the service, just talking of their first day of school and what I would have done differently if I was a senior. I think they may have been blown away. I told them in college, if I could have, I'd have gotten married sooner. Everybody told me not to marry until I got out of college. I'd have got married sooner. But we'll never know, because there's no time travel. Because once you lose time, beloved, you never regain it. And according to verse 18, the master was going on a journey. And then verse 19, the journey took a long time. It was a significant amount. And each servant had the same amount of time. Now, notice what the text says. It says immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded them, gained 5 more. And in the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. So the word immediately, there was no laziness here. There was no wasting of time. The first 2 servants here, they were gone. He said, I'm out of here. I'll see you when I come back. They said, okay, let's get to work and let's get to work now. And so they leave out to go do their task until he comes. But the third servant, he immediately does what? Buries the talent so he can do nothing else. And then when the master comes, he has nothing to show for it, and there's no way of getting that opportunity back. The Bible is filled with verses that encourage us to consider the time that God has given us, that time is a valuable gift from the Lord. Ephesians 5:16, make the best use of time because there are days, because the days are evil. James 4:13-15, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Or Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. And so we see making the most of the time that God has given us is an issue of wisdom. Beloved, you have been given a certain amount of time on this earth before one or two things is going to happen. You will either die or Jesus is going to come back. You'll either die or Jesus is going to come back, but either way, you're going to see him one way or another. You are going to come face to face with your master, and he's going to say, okay, you had this many years to give and to serve. What did you do with the time that I gave you? May it not be said that we were lazy and that we wasted the opportunity, but may it be said that our Lord will rejoice in the wisdom of the time that we were given. Healthy church members make the most of their time. They do not fill it up with more hobbies than needed. Beloved, you only have so much time in this world, and you can only put so many things there. You can only do so much. And yet we fill it up with so many frivolous things. This was really one of the things that I had to learn as a young man, a young married man who had tried to do all these fun things still, And realizing there were responsibilities out there that needed to be embraced. We must not fill it up with more hobbies and things. We must not waste time with purposeless activities such as watching too much TV and being on Facebook too much and Twitter too much. I know that sounds crazy, but we can do that. Whether it be even gardening or whatever, yeah, you can do that. But if you waste so much time in those kinds of things, beloved, that have no eternal value, we never get that back. but using our time and talents to help, using your time to disciple, using your time to evangelize, using your time to serve your church, using your time to fix your marriage, to fix relationships, using your time to love others, serve love. These are not wasted things. These are not burying your life in the dirt. And our Lord will rejoice in them. But thirdly, he also says that we are to make the most of our talents. They are to make the most of their talents. Notice here, they get their talents, they go, they immediately trade, and they come back, they have something to show for it. Now, some may point to this, and they have, and they say that the servant, you know, the first two servants had more privilege than the other. This is a wonderful conversation going on today. The issue of privilege, right? And those who have less privilege, well, you know, they have excuses, and they should not use their, they have excuses, and we should not look down upon them, or they should not be judged for what they do with their lives and all of that. That's just baloney. That is not the point of this text. Three things that I have to say from this text about this issue of privilege with here. Number one, our Lord is all-wise, all-knowing, and all-sovereign. And the issue of privilege here is given out by him. One servant got five, one got two, one got one. And it was God who ordained that. And so therefore, he sees this, he does as he desires, and it is a good thing. Our Lord sets all boundaries and people. You are not here by accident. You are here in this church, in this place, in this city, in this parish, because God deemed it that way. But secondly, even the lowest talent given, beloved, was more than enough. It was more than enough. It is estimated well over $500,000. Some of you are going, I'll take a talent, amen? Give me one talent. You know what, Master? You can give me a quarter of that talent and I'll be okay. I'll find something to do with it. It's well estimated, somewhere between $500,000 to $800,000. And so, even if we get one talent, beloved, even if we get the lowest thing that our Lord gives out, it is grace. Why is it grace? Because that was a slave. That was a slave. That was a wretched slave. And we are wretched sinners. And every second and every breath that we get is more than we ever deserve and is priceless. And thirdly, the point of the text doesn't fall on the value of what was given or what was even earned. The point of the text is what you did with what you were given. That is what you will be judged for. Notice the guy who brought back two was not judged because he didn't bring back five. No, the judgment came because the one who did nothing, he did nothing with what he was given. That's what this is. So we must notice the first two servants traded and gained talents with the ones that they received. They made the most by working hard, faithfully working for the master, using all that he had given them. You are, in other words, talented people. Now, some of you may not think so. Some of you may say, well, I cannot sing like Brother Trey or play the piano like Miss Jess or preach like Brother Brian or whatever. And I look at you and I say, I can't even drill a hole in a wall straight. And y'all go out building things. I can't paint well. We could all look at one another and begin to compare and say, well, you know, you do this. And we can ride around and turn and say, well, I can't do that. But you've all been given something. You are talented in your own way. Every Christian, every church member is a servant of the Lord and has been given something, entrusted with something, a responsibility, a resource, a talent, a gift. And beloved, it may be that you and I have been given maybe a little more money than others. And therefore, you have an opportunity to serve. To help those in need, to help your church, to help certain ministries, to help certain missionaries. There are things that need to be done. God has always used people who gives people wealth that they may turn around, take care of their own families, take care of their own things, and that with their abundance serve Him and work faithfully for Him. And it is a blessing, and it is to be applauded. It is not to be taken in a prideful manner, though. You are not to see yourself as being prideful, because God can take that away from you just like that. Whether it's money or whether it's the gift of singing, it is to be used humbly. It may be that you have wisdom that others do not have. I am not the wisest of individuals, beloved. There are things within our church where wisdom is needed on particular problems in the church and the particular problems in the community. And God has given you the ability to think in certain ways, in certain terms, to look at things from a certain angle. It may be that you are an organizer, that you can organize well. I work very hard at that, but it is not natural, and it does not come easy. I'm giving people tours of the church and showing them we need some organizers. There's clutter, there's structure, there's things everywhere, and we need those who have the gift and organization. God has given you that talent. Use it for the service of your King. It may be that you are handy with tools and that you can help, you can paint and you can hammer and you can nail. Praise God for the men and women who serve this church in those ways. Praise God for you. Maybe you're good with youth, or maybe you're good with children. Maybe you're good with senior adults. Maybe you're an encourager for your pastors. Maybe you're an encourager for your deacons. Maybe you're an encourager for Sunday school teachers. Maybe you have the gift of teaching, but you know, so you just do substitution for them. Whatever it may be, you've been given something. But we also must realize that look at this on a corporate level. On a corporate level, that the church has been given facilities. We're 35,000 now. I know it says 45, but I was told earlier we're 35,000 now from the Family Life Center. We have a Family Life Center. We have a beautiful big sanctuary. We've got rooms. These facilities were given to us by God that we may manage and be stewards, not to beat our chest and say, that's First Baptist Church, but that we use them for the kingdom of God. God has given us a budget. He's given us financial means by which we may equip one another for ministry, that we may disciple other church members, that we may care for the facilities, that we may be able to help those in need. Take care of the ministry that is coming forth from this church. God has given people with talents that are just a benefit. You are a blessing. But you are only a blessing, and we are only a blessing if we are using what God has given us and not hiding it in the dirt where it rots away. We mustn't take what we have for granted, what we've been given for granted. And we must not bury it, but use it to the fulfillment of God's kingdom, that we may hear from our Lord, from First Baptist Church of Jonesboro, well done, my good and faithful servants. May we embrace the quote of Richard Baxter, who said, to do nothing is the praise of a stone, not the praise of man. Stones do nothing and they will praise God, not church members. And finally, we see that healthy church members joyfully receive more. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts. And the one who received the 5 talents came up, brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. Look at verse 21. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now look at verse 23. The one with 2 came, same thing. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. What is the reward for those who faithfully serve? And the reward is they joyfully receive more. More what? More work. Now some of you are going, wait a minute, I don't like that. Because we're all about American culture. We're all about, you know, we work hard, then we retire. Some have taken this passage to make it mean that you get more money. Prosperity gospel that we're looking at Sunday night, that, they take that, make it mean more money. That's not it. The point is, you faithfully work for the Lord when He returns and you come before Him and you give an account, He then returns, rewards you. Well, you know, you get the whole crowns and everything. There are those rewards, but He rewards you with more faithful work. He said, I'm going to give you more work, slave. And then He says, enter into the joy of your master. Now that may seem disappointing, but here's the thing. Heaven is not going to be a retirement center for the Christians, nor is the church. Work has always been part of God's plan. Work was before the fall. God created man to work and to work with joy in his heart. Adam sinned and was cursed, and work became kind of hated. We hated work. The curse. It's about the attitude toward work, but work has always been. And so therefore, the reward of faithful work, beloved, the reward of the use of your talents is a reversal of the curse. To not serve is to be like the sin and the curse. It's under the curse, but to serve shows you have been set free from the curse. And there's 2 realities. There's a present reality that when you and I serve the Lord well, we increase both the opportunity and the joy of our work today, now. He will. That means that there will be a greater increase that you have been given to use your talents for the Lord in this present world, in this earthly realm. I serve now with joy and gladness. And as I serve, as I wait for my master return, He's going to, give me more work. But there is also, don't miss this, an eternal reality. If the faithless slave was cast into hell, then that means the 2 servants who enter into the joy of their master enter into an eternity of work and joy. The new heaven and new earth, beloved, will not be a retirement center for Christians. It will be as God intended in the garden. You will work in heaven. And you will love it. And you will serve the Lord in heaven. This passage teaches us that the more faithful we are on earth, the greater responsibility we have in eternity. And the greater our joy is and privilege. Do you want more joy in your Christian walk? Then serve the Lord. Be a good steward. Do you want to die well? And not be burdened with what might have been, but be proud of what was and with what you did. Then hear the Lord this morning. Serve Him with gladness. Work faithfully. Make the most of your time. And make the most of your talents. And beloved, joyfully receive now more. Whether big or small. I'll leave you with this. Rudolph Foster from First Baptist Winfield. I knew him as I was an intern over there. I think Trey and them knew him. Probably one of the greatest men that I ever knew. I remember when he passed away and they had his funeral. And the amount, I can't even remember how many hundreds of RA boys had come through his RA's class. Just hundreds of them just came through. some serving the Lord, being faithful in church, others not. But I remember they gave the number, and I meant to call his son and ask him. Astronomical, the amount of boys that came through the RA's class and he shared the gospel with. Now, there were those that would say, you know, serving in the RA's thing, that's probably not a big deal. But I can tell you what, beloved, that when he died and there at his funeral, and when just the number of men come to that funeral, come to that visitation, and they said, that man right there shared the gospel to me. That man right there shared the gospel. It was a beautiful thing. It doesn't matter whether it's big or small, First Baptist. You have been given a talent. Teaching a Sunday school class for kids or youth, teaching an RA's class that we do need right now, Wednesday nights, needing a teacher, helping Sunday school teachers by giving them a break, letting them rotate. Oh, what a blessing that would be, even if you just taught for a few weeks. Serve on the new greeter team. Come up once a week, help in the office, clean out a room, paint a door. Praise the God for the men that came this week. Fix the leak. Come up and serve. Take goodies to the local police department. Take them to the nursing homes. Take them to the businesses and tell them, I'm just a member of First Baptist Church and we just want you to know we love you. Talk to your city council. Talk to the council members and ask them, how can you help your community? How can we represent not only First Baptist, but how can we represent Christ well within the community? Visit your hospitals and your nursing homes and your shut-ins. Come talk with Brother Trey. Come talk with me about the needs of the church. And you say, I don't have much, but I have this. Where can this go? And beloved, know that there will be a place for you. And I believe you will find joy in that place. May we serve him with gladness. And as we wait for our work and wait for our master to return, may we hear the beautiful words on that day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray.